Heavenly Father, as we gather, we ask you to pour out your blessing upon us and give us wisdom and grace. We ask you to send the power of the Holy Spirit upon us at this time to remove distractions, to give us freedom of mind and heart, to help us to understand the gift of your Son. We pray, Holy Spirit, that we may be docile to the inspirations in our hearts, our minds, and that we may truly live out the gift of your Son. Blessed Mother, intercede for us. Help us to know that your Son needs true, authentic women, women rooted in hope and love, women rooted in purity, to adore her own Son, to adore him in the manger, to adore him on the cross, to live out that Christian vocation, that call of love. We ask you, Blessed Mother, to enlighten us with those things that impede us from an authentic reflection of your Son. We pray for our family. Lord, you know we don't come here alone. We come here with blessings, some with heavy hearts, concern for their kids, their spouse, their parents. We ask you, Lord, just to be open, to have a heart that has fertile soil, so that the promptings of the Holy Spirit will not be denied or rejected, but actually fulfilled and sustained and bear great fruit in our lives. We ask all of our prayers through Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of God, Saint Joseph, our guardian angels and saints, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, ladies, it's good to be here. And to start this day, you know, what would help is if you could just make sure your cell phones are turned off, just because it just becomes a little bit of a distraction. Not so much that, you know, it's not a cell phone that per se, but it's sort of that the culture just sort of creeps in on even a half day of time. It's almost virtually impossible to kind of slow you down and get you to focus as it is, just because wherever you came from this week and wherever you are now, whatever you feel God is speaking to you. And so the idea with this sort of this day of reflection is to sort of help the year, help you start the year on the right foot, and help you journey in a manner that is going to produce in you faith and hope and love and the year of faith in the church. For some of you, this may be sort of your first day of recollection. I don't know. Maybe some of you go on retreat or days of reflection all the time. And so we welcome you. Thanks to the folks who kind of organized this. One of the things I wanted to say to you was just what we did here is something you can do in your own parish. I really want to encourage you to do that, okay? Because, you know, there's a lot of priests out there that would love to come and talk. But also, you know, the way it grows is through this one-on-one evangelization. You reaching out to one gal and then that gal telling one gal and, you know, so on and so on and so on. So I want to just sort of like lift the glass ceiling and say, well, if it doesn't work in your parish and your pastor says, I don't like that idea, right? Then go to some other gal and say, hey, well, your pastor do it and let's work together, okay? I just want to really express that, because sometimes folks say, oh, my pastor said no, we tried. I said, well, just go to the next parish. Just ask your girlfriend there, right? And find out who he trusts in the parish. Get her to go to him, right? And then, yeah, it will happen, right? Because priests want to know that if it's going to run, it's going to run well, and it's going to be organized, and you're going to go coast to coast, right? That's the way I run my retreats. And I'll tell you, that's the way you have to be if you're going to do something like this. So you can't say, oh, gosh, we left the hall, we cleaned all the tablecloths and we left it. Hey, Father, what's the next thing so we can set it up for the next person, right? That's how you show that you are part of a bigger thing. It's not just a women's group and look at us and we came together and we prayed and we filled the dumpster with our trash and now we're moving on, right? The idea, and I want you to understand this, is you have to have ownership in the church. And in order to do that, it just can't be swoop in and swoop out. That's not part of living out our Catholic identity. Okay? It must be all part of the mission. This is sort of rooted in the way I was brought up. You know, when my sisters moved out of my house, my mom would always have Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, right? And she said, great, what are you bringing? She would say, are you coming? Great, what are you bringing? Right? They lived, that was their home. But what she was telling them was that, you know, you just don't come back and sort of freeload, right? Like most of our high school kids, right? She was teaching them something, okay? A second thing I want to teach you is I remember we had a priest over for dinner one time. And when Father came in, she said, Father, what can I get you? Beer, Coke, glass of wine, whatever. And he says, yeah, I'll have this, Bobby. I think I'll have a beer. She's like, great, come with me. She brought him into the kitchen, right, which I know you think is crazy. It's like, Father, here's the cooler. Here's the fridge. I'll get the first one. You get the next. Right? You know what she was saying? This is your home. Because if she always served him, it would never be his home. Right? She went one step ahead of him. She was saying, oh, this is your home. Just come on in. Help yourself. By the way, after dinner, that's the sink. Do the dishes. She was saying. His beeper went off right at the end of dessert. Or so he said. No. But the idea is that when you have that sort of ownership in your homes and in the church, actually you bleed that into the bigger home, which is the church, right? So I want to help you understand that. So maybe you can say, well, Father, I'm not one of the church ladies. I've never been a sacristan. Or I don't know how to be a sacristan. Or I don't know how to be a greeter or some other nonsense. Like, why don't you? Do you not talk to people? Don't you put stuff away in your house? Don't you put your knives, your forks, and your spoons, or you just kind of leave them all in the dishwasher and just pull them out as you need them, right? I'm driving home a point here. In order to be vested, you must vest. You must be open because that's how you grow in understanding your faith, okay? That's how you grow. And so when I've gone to parishes and I say, well, I need 10 sacristans at least, right? Train each other, work together. Ownership doesn't work. It's not your church, right? Move over. There's plenty of room in the sacristy, all right? Because when you have a sense of this, and when God is prompting you, just ask, hey, can I be part of that? But it's not on your terms. Okay, I'm going to get to that explanation, right? So you can't say, oh, I want to be a sacristan, but I'm only going to do the noon mass because I don't wake up earlier than that. Okay, that's on your terms. You are giving on your terms, okay? The phrase, this is my body for you, is the theme of the retreat, right? It isn't, this is my arm for you. It isn't, this part of my body is for you. Jesus said the whole gift of self at the Last Supper is for the conversion and the sanctification of all people, right? More than any other creature, a woman identifies with the concept, this is my body given for you. Because your whole genetic makeup is to nurture, and you don't have to be biological, but your whole composition is the concept of nurturing, loving, forming, and giving. That's your whole identity. Okay? So today I want to kind of take you on a journey a little bit to help you understand how you can grow in your faith by just taking a phrase, this is my body given for you. Last night I had a wedding, and the theme of the homily was, guess what? This is my body given for you. Because on the day of the wedding, the husband says, I, Bob, take you Sally. I, Sally, take you Bob. And they're really saying, this is my body given for you. The spouse reciprocates, amen. This is my body given for you. Every sacrament echoes, this is my body given for you. Baptism, the old baby dies, the new baby comes to life, right? The death of baptism, we read. In the rite of baptism, we read, the death of baptism. Christ's full gift of self exchanges itself for the old baby, and the baby comes alive. Confession. Christ on the cross, this is my body, my blood shed for you, which heals you, sanctifies you, strengthens you, returns you to your baptismal grace, your identity. The old sin disappears. All of the sacraments come in exchange for the phrase, this is my body for you. It's a significant point because when we talk about my body for you, let's get beyond really just the head-to-toe thing. Let's go a little bit deeper and understand powerfully that when we say this is my body for you, I'm talking about your whole identity, your whole person. There is no one who has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is my body given for you. The whole Mass is leading you to that statement, this is my body given for you. Let us call to mind our sins, asking God to give me the grace to leave behind the old man and to live the new man. The phrase that echoes in the Mass was long before said by Mary in the Annunciation. It's not in Scripture, but I truly believe what she really said, when she said fiat, she said what? This is my body for you. You know, not long ago, I was, at this Christmas, as a matter of fact, I was visiting a little kid in my parish who has all kinds of problems with him. He's a year old, and he's got all kinds of health issues. Every kind of health issue that the kid could have, every kind of syndrome. I can't remember them all. But I'd gone to visit him, and I'd pray with them. And they have a bunch of kids. They have like 5 kids, and this is the last one, right? And I went up to his room. He has his own little room. And, you know, he can't move, and he can't see. And he's on a ventilator. I said, oh, here's your priest. This is your priest, right? The victim. I said, use your son's suffering for the conversion of your family, of your own heart, right? So I said, let's put this parish priest to work, right? We put a basket. They have a little basket of petitions, right? Yeah, he's got work to do. We began to use his identity as a baptized Christian, right? Priest, prophet, and king. And so this little boy, John Paul, is now their little priest. But it was very interesting because Christmas Day, I said, you know, for my Christmas present, I'm going to let him see me on Christmas Day. And I said, I'll come over and celebrate Mass after the Mass is at my parish on Christmas Day. So I went over and had Mass. You know, he's got a bunch of little brothers and sisters, so they kind of like climbing all over him, right? Whatever. It's not my brother, not my little brother, so I don't care, right? So, but I had the most profound moment. I just kind of want to help you understand. I wish I could have tape recorded it. So, I don't know, he's on this like ventilator. It just makes this noise, you know, like zzz, zzz, like just to help him breathe, you know? So there are 25 people in the home. And they have faith, you know, they have strong faith. So I took the host, I leaned over the bread, right? And I said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. And I elevated the host. Well, we had a little bell. And the bell stopped, and all you heard was, bzzz, ba-boom, bzzz, ba-boom. And I was thinking to myself, every person is on the ventilator were it not for the body of Christ. Our culture is completely connected to Jesus Christ. And we are on the ventilator, if you will, totally attached to the heart of Jesus Christ. Without that ventilator, it's flatline. What our culture tells you to do is turn off the machine. Don't be dependent on the baby, on Christ. What our culture tells you to do is you can live on your own and breathe on your own and be who you want. And yet, the very paradox is the people that think that they're living on their own are actually putting their plugs into everything so that they have enough oxygen to live on. But the oxygen that's coming in is actually preventing them from loving and thinking and hearing and understanding. Right? The purpose of oxygen with that baby is to make that baby independent. It is a temporary dependency. Our culture tells you this is a permanent dependency and you can't live without it. Notice the difference. You must watch, ladies, and I'll get a little bit more deeper into this. You must watch where you're turning and in need of plugging into in your life. Because the very thing that you think may be providing life for you is actually the very thing that's actually withdrawing life from you. Our culture is very sophisticated in draining life out of the heart of men and women. So why do we pick today's topic as the topic that I thought that they would like to hear? It's because when we understand the Mass and the gift of self at Mass, what begins to happen is we begin to open up our identity, we begin to know ourselves, because what happens is we go to the Mass as sort of this quasi-spectator sport, right? We want Father to be perfect, to sing the Amen perfectly. For the homily just to touch me, Father, right? For that song to be sung just right, right? For the altar servers not to spill the charcoal like they did at the midnight Mass in my parish, right? So I have two huge carpet divots, right? It was kind of funny. I don't know if you know what ushers are like. They're like impossible to work with, right? They do no ushering. And so after the midnight Mass, I came for the 8:30 Mass, you know, so it's like 3 a.m. when you get to bed as a priest and you get up, make your holy hour and go over there and they're like, who did this? Father, did you see this carpet? What happened? Those kids did a rotten job. Why didn't somebody? They're going on and on. I said, and who gave approval? I did. Total silence, right? You see, I want to dive into your understanding. Why is it so hard as men and women to understand the gift of the sacraments? Mary began the journey for us. Mary said, fiat, let it be done for me. Her active participation to say yes, I say yes, is what all of us do or should be doing throughout the liturgy. It's an active relationship. It is actually best understood when you and I enter the Mass and give everything I can. You begin the Mass not with your blessings. You actually begin the Mass with your sinfulness. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. All right, put all your sins at the foot of the cross. That's the first thing the church tells you to do. Take off that backpack and put it at the foot of the cross. Leave it there. Because how can your heart, mind, soul, and body be lifted to God if you simply are not turning your life and your heart over to God? If Christ can lift the burden of the venial sins, then you can begin to hear, to see, to speak. Okay? So the first point I want to help you to understand is when you enter into the Holy Mass, I ask you, think of your sinfulness. Prepare. Because turning your burden of sinfulness over to the Lord is the beginning of the act of intimacy and the act of love between you and God. Turning over your burden to our Savior. You must do it. You may even enter into it in a proxy manner for your spouse, for your children. Lord, I place before you the burden of my kids. I place before you the struggle in my family. I place before you my mom's worry, my mom being worried about finances. I place before you my mom's fear of falling. That's not sinful, but what I want you to begin to do is I want you to begin to understand that placing these things before the Lord at the beginning of the liturgy is the beginning of that act of relationship that needs to take place in all of us at the Holy Mass. Secondly, in beginning to recognize the power of that gift of surrender, the church next tells us to just sort of call on the Lord, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. What was once a denial in our lives now is a statement of faith, right? Peter, do you love me? Do you know the Lord? Do you know him? Do you know him? No, I don't know him. Three times Peter denies him. But then three times we as a church get a chance to say what? I believe. I believe. Ladies, when you enter into the sanctity, the real mystery of the Mass, what begins to happen is you begin to see and understand see things all around you, not just at the Mass. You have to sing. You have to participate. You have to genuflect. You have to understand that every action in the Mass, and I go crazy when I see the men who don't even make the sign of the cross like it's like killing them. And they act all big and tough. Make the sign of the cross. It's the power of healing. Understand what you're doing. Understand that it isn't just when the person is being liberated in confession or person is being blessed, the priest doesn't make the sign of the circle. It's the sign of the cross. Learn the power of the sign of the cross. Learn it. Understand it. So many times I say, let us pray, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our Father who art in heaven. You haven't even made the sign of the cross. Understand that when you begin the sign of the cross, you are calling on the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, asking them to come and be present, asking them to send their grace into your life so that you as a woman can live out the very life that Mary lived out. It's essential. Whether Father says the sign of the cross in 4 seconds or 20 seconds, how you do it begins that act of relationship with God. It is fundamental to understanding that to say this is my body, this is my blood, it is not just a statement of words, it's in the small things. It's in the little things that you do throughout your day, in the journey that you remember why you're doing them, what God has done with creating you to do those things, and also understanding really that you do it for a purpose. I'm doing this for God. Okay? So the Mass is this whole act of offering. You offering yourself to God and God offering his Son to us. It's this relationship. It's this public dance of love. God seeking to draw you in to understanding that he loves, and his love is so real, he seeks to bring conversion and healing in your heart. Whether the kids are messing up, whether there's distractions all around you, it does not prevent you from tuning your heart and your mind into God. How can we say, Lord, I love you, when the most intimate act of love that God shows to us, we're completely distracted? Okay? You don't have to be a priest at some kid's house on Christmas Day. It may be his last Christmas Day. I don't know. You don't need to hear the respirator going bzzz, ba-bum, in order to enter into what God wants to say to you. What I heard is the same stuff God wants to say to every one of you at an appropriate time in your life. God wants to speak to us and tell us of his love, but it demands that I have a silent heart. Ladies, it demands that you sort of surrender some of the stuff that you carry about with you and give yourself the freedom to hear him. Okay, I've been telling the gals at my parish the other night, I said, you know how you can tell the difference between the good spirit and the evil spirit, between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the spirit, the lying spirit, is that the good spirit, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, will convict you, but he will do it with love and will offer opportunities to get out of that situation. The evil spirit will convict you, but will leave you isolated, lacking hope, the best way to say it is confused. Okay? You'll actually be left confused. So the Holy Spirit begins to work, or the Spirit begins to work in your heart, and all of a sudden you think, yeah, there's an opportunity for me to kind of work through this or to deal with this situation. You may not like the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but that is beginning to help you say, how do I overcome this situation? The evil spirit will lead you into the desert and tell you to do all these impossible things. Hey, turn that bread into wine. Hey, make your husband go to church. Hey, tell your kid to stop having premarital sex. All these things, and you, how am I going to do that? It's impossible. So you're going to feel isolated. So when we come to the Holy Mass, what we're actually asking the Lord to do is, Lord, give me clarity on some of the decisions that I'm facing in my life so that I have the wisdom and the prudence and the courage to make decisions and further along the mission of God's love. Okay? Do not deny the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay? Don't do it. Okay? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he will speak to you consistently. All right? He will speak to you consistently. Be fertile soil. Listen. But as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, it will bring with it peace, joy, contentment. The evil spirit will come at you and it'll bring agitation, temptation, frustration. So I'm going to take this job. I prayed about it, waited, talked about it. I feel drawn to take this job. The Lord is leading me to take this job or buy this house. I think this is good. All the people concerned are saying this is a good thing. Driving to the real estate agent. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I should take it. Should I take it? You're working five phones. Should I take it? Should I take it? Should I take it? People don't even want to talk to you because they're sick of talking to you, right? Right? Should I buy this dress? How much is dress? $12. Should I buy it or should I not buy it? You spend more time talking about it. Just buy it. Right? I mean, it's not permanent, right? You're decorating. I was trying to give some suggestions, which was like virtually impossible, to a women's committee about decorating the church. And like, I got emails. Then I got a text message. Should we get red, felt, or I don't care. So then I sent the text message, and then they sent me back rebuttals on why it shouldn't be that color. So I said, why'd you ask me? Like, why? I don't care. But what happens is we begin to, I'm going to buy that house, right? And all things are working. And all of a sudden, my only response is I'm going there, and I'm thinking, this is not the right thing. Why? You have to watch. The evil spirit is going to lead you into temptation and isolation and agitation. It's going to lead you into confusion. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? I'm never going to have a house. There's not going to be another house for the next 5,000 years. I'm never going to have a... Why do you do that? Don't subject yourself to it. If you make the decision rooted in prayer and faith, then follow through with that decision. And don't open the window of doubt into your soul. That's just ridiculous. The Mass will confirm your decisions. But when it's the Holy Spirit, ladies, the best way to tell it, and this is not theological, but this is just what I see, is that the Holy Spirit confronts you face on, the evil spirit hits you in the back of the head. Okay? That's the best way to think about it. Did this come at you in a spirit of love, peace, opportunity, hope, okay? Or did this come at you and say, what are you doing? That's the worst thing ever. these are not just the big decisions. These are decisions that I want you to be sensitive to in your journey in faith. Okay? It's very important. Because when you then come to the Mass and begin to sort of enter into the mystery of God, all of the readings have something to say to you. All of them. If you need to read the book, buy a Missalette, buy the Magnificat, look in the pew. If you're a better listener with your ears, then just tune in. I know it's hard. But try to hear something for yourself. God is weaving an answer to something during the liturgy. Okay? He's weaving an answer that's going to culminate in your reception of Holy Communion. Okay? You have to be present. God can't just come in and pound you in the head and say, listen, listen, listen. Okay? So the readings have something to say to you. All right? The gospel and the homily is speaking to you as well. But the reason why we sometimes don't hear that is because we have so many noises. Sometimes there's like noises outside of us and inside. The outside noises are those things that bother us about our neighbor. Okay? See how loud it is in here? No. Right? The inner noises are the things that bother us about ourselves. Listen to what noise is bothering you. Okay? This is great. This is free. Listen to the noises that bother you, because the ones that bother you about your neighbor, if they keep bothering you, then they are purposeful distractions to prevent you from hearing God. Are you with me? So I don't like this person. And every time you're just getting ready to listen to the reading, you haven't seen this person in 8 weeks, right? And all of a sudden you sit down, reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And all of a sudden, bing, I wonder what Shannon's doing right now, right? Or her kid's name is Luke. I hated that kid, right? And all of a sudden you're like, right? Okay, but I know it's all kind of a joke, but you have to watch the outside noises. You won't hear a message, okay, if all that stuff is just sort of rattling around you. Like the big jet plane going over your house and everything is echoing. It's shaking. All right? You will find yourself distracted by that, and it will come back at you consistently. All right? The evil spirit will bring back those distractions consistently in your life. All right? You have to ask the Lord, Lord, take that away. Don't try to punch the evil spirit. You have a big brother. I say this all the time to my school kids. Ask the Lord, Lord, take that away. All right? Right? You're the second grader, right? The bully is the fifth grader, and you have a college brother named God. Right? He can beat up the fifth grader, okay? I find too many women in particular are trying to, like, tell where the devil to go, right? Like, he doesn't know where to go, right? I just want you just to say, don't do it in a spirit of frustration. Don't do it in a spirit of anger. Just say, Lord, just take this distraction away because I want to hear you. I want to listen to a message that you have for me. All right? The inner distractions are the things that bother you, that have bothered you and continue to bother you. And there doesn't seem to be any answers. It's just the natural progression of our bodies, of our lives, whatever it may be. But all of a sudden, they begin to, like, sort of pop up again at moments when you're trying to listen. They sort of become moments of insecurity that you hear echoing off the walls of your house, but nobody else can hear them. Right? Where is that coming from? Most of those distractions are not new. Isn't that true? You guys have heard those a billion times. right? You're not this, you're not that, you're not blah, blah, blah. You've heard them 100 times. And then all of a sudden, just when you're kind of starting to listen, you go, oh, let's talk about that again, like for the 5,000th time. Okay? I really beg you, because God wants to speak something to you, not to allow that rattling to take the inner peace that God is trying to give to you. All right? Even at this moment, what is God bringing up in you? Just pause for a moment. Say, Lord, what are you bringing up in me, in my heart right now? Do you feel the Lord saying, give that to me? Just give it to me. That's all he says, right? He said, my daughter, just give that to me. Give it to me. He will take that, okay? It's very important. Are you with me on that, ladies? All right? You see how easy it is just to kind of like, all of a sudden, God, like, just give it to me. It's okay. You don't have to be afraid. And I'm not talking about emotions, okay? I'm trying to take this spiritual thing, connect the emotions, and go a little deeper, all right? So I'm not just talking about some, oh, I feel better now. I'm talking about something of the Holy Spirit, okay? You must be able to watch your body temperature and those distractions. All right? You can't go through the Christian life and keep getting bopped in the back of the head for the rest of your life. That's not holiness, right? I go through life and I get beat up all the time, right? I guess I'm a saint. No, you're not. You're just stupid, right? Well, okay. Stupids, I can't say that word in school anymore. You're foolish, right? But, right? That's not holiness. Like if your kid just, if it happened to your kid, if your kid got beat up all the time, right? You got beat up by the bully, beat up by the bully, beat up by the bully. This bully like stands, right? Remember that Brady Bunch thing? And he beat up Peter all the time. Just go a different direction. Watch out. You know he's around the corner. Okay? It's not holiness. It's just not. And I find too many women are like, oh, I must be holy because I let this happen or this thing happens in my life, so therefore I'm holy because it keeps happening to me. You're wrong. Okay? All right? Just like really, really watch that. Even at the Mass, right? Say you had a like rotten relationship with your old man, right? And the priest is up there and he's describing the baptism of the Lord. That's tomorrow, right? And Jesus comes out of the water and from the heaven says, yeah, this is my beloved son. Listen to him, right? And you've never thought of yourself as beloved, right? I've talked about this before. I don't know to you guys, but someone else. I said, like, you've never seen yourself as beloved. Like, you could never see yourself like coming out of the water and the father saying, this is my beloved daughter. I'm really proud of her. Watch that. Like, why is that? So all of a sudden, you know, you look at that, whatever. That's not true. Because if it didn't happen to you, then it can't happen to Jesus, right? And so all of a sudden, you get into this denial. In the very moment of love at the Mass, you're starting to say, I don't believe that. All right? That's how you begin to get a sense of the movement of the Holy Spirit. When that happens, you must bring that to prayer. Do not deny that. Okay? That's more important than 5,000 rosaries. All right? I've talked about this with gals, and I'll say it again. That's nose-to-nose time with God. Right? Right, you know, Eskimo nose to Eskimo nose. Right here, let's talk about this. Because if you don't address that, that will continue to rattle your cage for the rest of your life. It will be the door of insecurity and doubt and fear and failure. Amen? Are you with me on that? You got it? Okay. It isn't the failure that's the struggle. That's okay. It's the lies that come in after the failure. Are you with me? It isn't the failure. God can fix that. It's the lies that you let continue to echo in your life after the failure. It's like the emotional, spiritual receptors are still alert. They haven't been shut down and curled back up where they were originally went before that situation happened. You get that idea? Like all of a sudden, hey, you're dumb. And all of a sudden, like, all of a sudden these receptors go up. And all of a sudden I get this sense, okay, I'm forgiven, but they're still up. They're still active. Who's still rejecting me? Who's still yelling at me? Right? Shut those radars down. Bring them back in. If you don't, what will happen is stuff will echo back at you that came back from a long time ago, and there's going to be shrapnel. Somebody's going to say something like, hey, you know, you see that football player? He looks fat. And you're going to go, remember when I was in third grade and my dad called me fat? He's talking about a 500-pound football player, and you've already gone back to where you were in third grade. Okay? Just pray about that. Wow, Lord, what are you saying to me? All right. Now it's about 11. Do you have any questions? We'll take a little bit of break, but do you have any questions on this? We're gonna go a little bit deeper into this is my body for you. Any questions for me? No? Okay. Good chicken. So why don't we take a break? Do you have a question? Go ahead. In my own life, I don't often get the sense of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Some people get a sense like, I know that's the Holy Spirit. I get a prompting interiorly that says, just do this and I'll take care of the details. Okay? Each of us have maybe different promptings of the Holy Spirit that help us make decisions. Okay, I would just tell you, you have to listen to how you think the Holy Spirit is speaking to you because it's unique to all of us. For one, it may be clarity praying the rosary. Sometimes I work on a homily all week and then I wake up Sunday morning like literally like coughing the cobwebs out and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I know what I'm going to preach about. Like literally, it just gets written A, B, C, D, I've got it. Sit my adoration and I've got it. I think it's just what I would drive home is the personal love that God has for you is the way that he will speak to your heart. For some it may be jogging, for some it may be walking. So there's a physical way that God speaks to us for me. But I think fidelity to this, obviously the sacraments, but the movement of the confession. But then not being afraid to go where God is speaking to you so that, you know, I'm just going to read a book even though God wants to speak to me. Well, I'm just going to pray the rosary even though God really wants me to just cool it for a couple minutes and just pay attention to him, okay? I find too many times as Catholics it's the accomplishment of the book or I've got to read this book so everybody thinks I've got it. Meanwhile, the infused virtues are just what God wants to give to us, okay? So just remember, your body is made to receive, and there's times when it's fertile and when it's times when it's not fertile. But the truth be known is that God is always pouring the graces in, and to have an open heart is to avoid, is to have a fertile heart, is to have free of mortal sin and have a devout prayer life, maybe even before the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? Well, how do you break up the rocks? Is I think you ask for grace to know which are rocks. Because what may be a rock may not actually be a rock, but it may be a pearl, I mean, a diamond within the rock. Because not everything that you hammer is just going to be shrapnel. Sometimes I've found that, you know, I do believe that every rock has a pearl in it. Because that's what attracts people to that person. So if I'm really an angry man and all of a sudden I keep praying and God begins to just, God chips away, you know, it's not us. And little by little, and all of a sudden there's this virtue that wells up in me, which is patience. People will be drawn to that, and that will shine in me. Okay? Does that help you? Does that give you some idea? Don't hammer. Don't just let God do the work. Let God say, let's work on this, let's work on that. Don't tell God what you want to fix. That's not the best way to do it, okay? Sometimes you just have to just let him. And honestly, sometimes, ladies, you know, like you're not going to work on something, but it's like God's going to work on it behind your back. All right? So sometimes you say, oh, I got to work on my patience. And all of a sudden, but God says, well, let's just go deeper in faith. He'll fix the patience by helping you grow in the faith. Okay? Anyway, just something to pray about.